So here's my one suggestion. You know, make environmental responsibility your fashion statement. Don't buy new stuff. And I know a lot of people have been picking on cell phones today. And maybe cell phones are okay, but buying a new cell phone every couple of years and upgrading everything in every couple of years, that's not okay. Buy stuff that will endure. And your identity of who you are is not about how much stuff you have. And we have to get this through our heads. And if the rich 20%, which includes everybody in this room, the rich 20% on the planet are using 80% of the stuff, go figure it out. And if we're at 30% overshoot already, and the rich 20% are using 80% of the stuff, and we want ecology and social justice on the planet, do the math. We're going to have to, for starters, we're not going to ask the poor 80% who are barely making it to give up what they're consuming. We're the ones that are going to have to give it up just to get back to from 130% of the throughput of the carrying capacity down to 100%. And be nice to be below that. So for starters, we have to give up probably 40% of our stuff, of our throughput. Now, this does not mean we cannot have a higher quality of life. And this is the important thing. But we have to find this soft landing, this last little line here. This is my indication of if we can find a soft landing into less stuff. Now, by the way, this less consumption is only like 1970s level of throughput. You know, people say, well, we can't go back to the Stone Age. Well, newsflash here, this is not the Stone Age we're talking about. This is just ending our wasteful lifestyle and all our throwaway stuff and all our garbage. We have to get to zero garbage. In nature, there's zero garbage. I think that was said a couple times today. There's no waste in nature. In nature, everything's recycled. So we got to do the same thing. We do have to mimic nature. If we don't, we learn the Wile E. Coyote gravity lesson. We crash. Just like every other species, just like the reindeer on St. Matthew's Island, just like the fruit flies, just like the people on Easter Island, if we think we can blow past our carrying capacity and just keep going and keep making our stone statues, we will crash. And this is why I say the economic crash we're experiencing right now, at its base, at its roots, it's an ecological crash. We have met the limits. Human society, in its aggregate consumption, has met the limits of the planet. And there's not going to be a recovery like in the 30s. They talk about everybody wants to stimulate the economy. What do they want to stimulate it to? Back up to 3% growth, 4% global growth? Won't happen. It's not going to happen. We got to find that magic place below the carrying capacity. And that we need to put every bit of our focus on finding that. If you were a space visitor on planet Earth, or if you had been able to go to Easter Island when they were zooming up and they were building all the stone statues and they hadn't crashed yet, what would you tell them? What would a space visitor coming to Earth tell us? They'd say, hey, humanity, like you got a very cool thing happening here. You're really smart. You got a lot of things figured out, but you got to use less stuff. You can't just think you can just blow past your carrying capacity and that somehow you're different than the fruit flies or you're different than the reindeer. You need to learn that lesson, and this is the lesson we have to learn. And this is why I say it's a dramatic lesson, because there's nobody in our culture that wants to deliver the message. Our politicians don't want to deliver it. Our media don't want to deliver it. And we don't want to deliver it. We're all somehow hooked into this. We're all invested. And yet it's the reality that we have to face. These people are sustainable. They just need a forest. Give them a forest, they're fine. They don't need the rest of us. They don't need our part. Well, you can see they got our recycled T-shirts. How about these people? These are people in Brazil. They have never contacted modern human society. These people are sustainable. They just need the forest. That's all they need. Leave them alone. They're fine. Now, they don't have all the cool things we have. They don't have video games. They have nature, though. Their children grow up in nature. Their children grow up in the forest. This is a shot from a helicopter. You can see they're trying to shoot down the helicopter with their bows. I think that's pretty cool. What about these people? Is this sustainable? I don't know, maybe. I have a suspicion that that civilization's going to meet the Amish on the way back down the backside of the consumption curve. And the Amish are going to say, hello. But my point isn't that we all have to be farmers or we don't have to be Amish. We just have to use less stuff, and we can have rich lives. That happiness is not about consumption. Happiness is not about stuff. Happiness is about creativity. It's about being with our friends. It's about having a family. It's about having someone who cares for you. It's about having friends. Happy people are people who have someone that cares about them. It's really simple. And as we chase more stuff and we get more alienated from each other, we don't discover happiness. This is my nephew on his goat farm. Now, I'm not saying we all have to be hippies and grow dreadlocks and be farmers, but these guys have a decent life. They have a really nice life. They work hard. They work hard 7 days a week. They get up every morning. They milk the goats. They work hard. They grow their food. They work in the garden. They grow almost all the food they eat, and they sell their goat milk and goat cheese, and they buy a bit of stuff with it. And they work really hard, but they have a nice life, and they're happy, and they're satisfied. And I would never say to my nephew, oh, too bad you started that goat farm instead of getting your university degree and getting a job at some corporation and making $200,000 a year. He has a nice life. And these are my sons. It's Jonah and Liam with the goats there. And they go to work on the farm. It's the happiest time of their lives. So what we're talking about here is the quality of our lives. We're not talking about reducing quality of our lives. And we don't all have to be hippies or Amish and farmers. We just have to live simpler lives and realize that happiness isn't about stuff. Happiness is about having friends and family and some creativity. The Gucci bag isn't happiness. The Gucci swimsuit is not happiness. Happiness is having people around you who love you and who will care for you. These gamblers, their culture is going to crash. It's not sustainable. This kid on the horse here, his culture might be sustainable. There's a nice community garden. This is what we need to do. We just need to simplify. And in urban populations, in urban centers, we just need to simplify and be reasonable and be smart about it. We need to remember where we come from. We need to learn and remember what it is that keeps us alive. It's the biosphere that keeps us alive. Now, I'm going to flash this up here because the last thing I thought was, I'm going to make a list of things we should do, and I started making the list. It's endless, the list of things we should do, but here's some of them. We should eliminate cars and build public transportation, at the very least. If we're going to survive, we're going to survive with public transportation. The car culture is over, and it was a mistake. It was a bad idea when it was started. And by the way, you know why we all drive cars in North America? Not because it was a consumer choice. It was a choice by General Motors, Standard Oil, and Firestone Tires in the 1930s formed a company called National City Lines, and they bought up every light rail public transportation system in North America. In Canada, they couldn't buy them, so they just came up here and they bribed city councils with free Cadillacs, and they ripped up the tracks. It wasn't a consumer decision to turn North America into a car culture. It was a corporate decision to turn America and Canada into car cultures. And they were successful. And they made a lot of money selling oil and tires and cars to human beings. When we could have had a really nice light rail public transportation system. I don't know how many of you have ever lived in Europe, but I've lived in Amsterdam and Zurich and other places. And it's no problem. You don't need a car. You walk out of your home. You walk down to the corner. You get on the streetcar. You go to the central station. You go to any address in Europe. And while you're traveling, by the way, you're reading a book or talking to friends or meeting new friends or having breakfast. And you're not sitting behind a wheel swearing at the other drivers. So we need to eliminate cars, build public transport. We need to convert the car space. 40% of our average city is space for cars, automobiles. Convert it all to food production, gardens. We need to stabilize and reduce human population. This is a topic that rarely comes up in international discussion. No one wants to bring it up. And someone said today, how do you reduce human population? It's very easy. Women's rights, first of all, globalize women's rights. Canada should refuse to do business with any nation that doesn't have equal rights for women. Because when women have the choice to how many children they want, they have less children. And if you make contraception available, they have way less children. So it doesn't take draconian government rules like the one-child policy. It just takes common sense. We have to reduce our CO2 emissions by 80%, and that's to keep the sea rise at 4 meters and not 7 or 8. Or if the whole thing melts, if all the ice on the planet melts, we're talking about 60 meters of sea rise, and that's adios, that's a brand new restart for civilization. 60-meter sea rise, it's a whole new... We'll be lucky if primates survive, but we probably will, but we need to avoid that. So the CO2 emissions that we need are dramatic. We have to reduce our throughput of matter and energy. We have to recycle everything 100%. We need new building codes, heat pumps, insulation, proper building codes. We need to preserve every square inch of farmland and forests. We need to preserve wilderness. We need to reduce our meat consumption. We need to be building dikes. We need to go up to the 2-meter level and start building dikes for another 2 meters, just to give our next generation a chance. We need global education, literacy building. We need to localize our communities. Our survival, it's now about resilience, because we are going to have global warming and we are going to have the sea rise. So what we need to do now is build strong communities that take care of each other. We're not, this whole idea that we're all on our own and we're all, every individual for themselves, that's not going to work. What's going to survive are communities that are resilient. And finally, the last thing on this list is take care of each other. That's how we're going to make it happen. We're going to take care of each other. The poet Mae Sarton, she says, you have to... Now, by the way, this is a long list, and this list isn't even comprehensive. There's many more things that need to go on this list. This is just a start. And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for me, so if you feel overwhelmed, please, it's okay. You should feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed. And we're going to be slightly overwhelmed. We're already feeling slightly overwhelmed. The scientists that are meeting in Copenhagen right now as we speak are overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. The world leaders aren't listening to them. They've been saying this stuff for their entire careers, and no one's taking action. But you have to think like a hero. I love this from Mae Sarton. You have to think like a hero to behave like a normal, decent human being. Just to do the decent thing, you have to think like a hero. So when we think about all these things that we need to do, it just seems overwhelming. Just pick one. Pick one thing on this list and dedicate the rest of your life to it until it's solved in your community. And when you solve it in your community, see if you can solve it in your region. And when you can solve it in your region, you can use your experience to help solve it on the rest of the planet. Don't be overwhelmed. Just get active. I'll tell you, activism is the best thing that ever happened to me. I went to school as a scientist. I was going to be an aerospace scientist. I discovered ecology in university. I've been an environmental activist ever since, for 40 years. Activism is the best thing that ever happened to me because at least I feel like I'm doing something. Every day of my life, I can look my kids in the face and I can say, it's going to be really bad, but it's not going to be really bad because I never did anything. It's going to be really hard, but we can do it. And the other thing is being active, and it doesn't mean you have to give up your careers. You can be whatever you want to be. You can finish your science degrees. You can get good jobs. You can do all kinds of things. But there has to be a part of your life which is helping to solve these problems. You have to think like a hero. But not, well, I'm not talking about a dramatic Hollywood hero. I'm talking about ordinary heroes, you and I, and Andrea who unplugs her fridge, and our friends who give up their cars and just buy and recycle clothes instead of new clothes. Just do the common, decent thing, and that's heroic. My friend David Abram, who wrote a beautiful book called The Spell of the Sensuous, he says, sooner or later, technological civilization must accept the invitation of gravity and settle back into the land, the more than human world. It's a beautiful world. Nature is beautiful. Imagine discovering this planet. It's a beautiful place, And it's even going to be beautiful even when we're struggling to survive in a different way. It's still going to be beautiful. I have birds that come. I just love the birds outside my window. And you know, I feed the birds because I love to see them come. They give me so much pleasure, so much joy. Nature is very healing. And there's a lot of joy and pleasure in nature. Simple lives are going to be fine. And I'm not worried about my kids having to work hard for the rest of their lives. I'm not worried about them having to get up every morning and grow food and work hard. That's okay. I just want to avoid the crash as much as possible. Rilke says, again and again, some people in the crowd wake up. They have no ground in the crowd, and they emerge according to much broader laws. They carry strange customs with them and demand room for bold gestures. The future speaks ruthlessly through them. That's us. That's you. You have to lead this. All the great changes in human history have been led by people like you and me, by citizens, by private citizens. Civil rights was not eliminated by governments. It was eliminated by people standing up and saying, we won't tolerate it anymore. Women's rights were brought into society, not by governments, not by corporations, by women standing up and saying, this is ridiculous and we won't take it anymore. That's the way all change happens. It's up to you. And Arne Naess, who founded the deep ecology movement, who just died recently, Norwegian philosopher, this sums it all up. Richer lives, simpler means. We don't need more stuff. We just need to be in nature, take care of each other, nurture our family, take care of our friends, nurture our friends, be nice to each other, that we can have much richer lives with less stuff. That's the good news. And that's what we can all do. We can all find those richer lives without having more stuff, without buying more stuff, without consuming more stuff. You know, one of the, this whole thing about buying a hybrid or buying an electric car, and I think you mentioned it, you were talking about your car. The most ecological thing you can do is keep whatever car you have and take care of it and repair it and keep it on the road. Trading in whatever car you have and buying a hybrid is not the ecological solution. The ecological solution is to repair and maintain whatever you already have. Because when you buy a new car, you're just creating more throughput, more stuff. Half the energy and all the materials that car will consume, it's already consumed when you buy it. Simpler means richer lives. That's the formula. That's our solution. And we can do it. You and I can do it. We can stand up and say, we're going to make this world different. And by the way, if we don't have any choice. We're going to get to sustainability either by our choices or by nature's choices. And let me tell you, Mother Nature is very patient and beautiful, but she's not sentimental. So if we want to find a soft landing into this sustainable life, we have to make those choices. And we can. We can do it. You can do it. Thank you very much. We may have time for, I don't know how soon we have to get out of here. We may have time for some questions or some comments. Yeah? Anybody? Yes, sir.
I just want to comment for the simpler life that you mentioned. And last summer I spent the summer in Ecuador with indigenous people that were putting together. And I got an argument with one of the men of the tribe. And then I was trying to say how, no, our life is way better. You know, you guys, you're pagans. You live such a poor, rough life. I've never been able to do that. We got an argument, and he beat me on every single ground. He said, how many hours did people work a day where you're from? And I'm, full, average. And he said, that's ridiculous. I fought for my whole family, and I need to work 2 to 3 hours every day just going around gathering food.
Right. It does put it in perspective. Did you hear that? When he was talking about this with an indigenous person, where was it? In Ecuador. Yeah. You know, we've really complicated life. We've really complicated life. And, another thing that Arne Naess says is that when the children can grow up in nature,
then we're back on the road to paradise. Yes. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
I had asked this question earlier this morning. Our current population is 6.7 billion, and most estimates that I've seen is that our current capacity is about 1 or 2 billion. So how do you see that we can go from 6.7 billion to 1 or 2 billion?
Yeah, great. You asked that question earlier, and that is one of the questions we have to ask. How can we get down to 1 or 2 billion people? And as I said, women's rights make contraception available. They're right away. You cut the fertility rate from in places like Africa, for example, where the fertility rate is 9 or 10 babies per woman, half of whom die before they're 4 years old. You can cut the fertility rate from 70 to 90 children down to 2 or 3.